Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Dungeon Junkies presents The Fall of Oshia, Episode 14, In Sickness and in Elf.
To be fair, it's not that
But when you get a new, depending on the company, they have separate driver installs.
Oh yeah, I'll take a look.
And Windows will block some of them by automatic with the firewall.
Yeah, howdy, I am neither Matt nor Alex, but I am Kerry, and I am waiting to start my episode.
Woohoo! Tech support! D&D!
I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Kerry.
Guys, welcome back to Dungeons and Junkies.
Oh, that's a cracker moment.
Yeah, I think that actually will be a cracker moment for sure. We will now hand over to the DM for this evening, who is confident and, do I think, angry all of a sudden? Kerry, when you're ready.
Hi, I'm Kerry, and my definition of confident probably varies quite wildly from everyone else's. For me, it's when all my screaming stays internal rather than external.
Oh my god, same.
Samesies. But before we get on with things, let's go around the table and introduce everyone's favourite band of elves. Starting with Alex.
Oh, I'm going first. Hello, I am Alex, and today I'm playing Charlie, the half-elf monk, who is now also taking a job in cleric. So I have some magical fists now.
It's not 10,000 fisting jokes.
I'm glad I got the reaction I was hoping for.
Let's move over to Matt.
Oh, Alex, phrasing, yes, phrasing.
You cannot talk, Matthew.
I have magic fingers now.
Making it worse, making it worse. I am Matt, and I am playing Moira, who is simply a misunderstood witch cleric now. She has taken some levels in cleric, and she can cast spells. And just, you know, there's some salt for you, Alex, just for good measure.
So Matt has some salt, and apparently Moira couldn't cast spells before now. Salt. This is news to me.
I could cast healing spells now.
Wait a minute, that's illegal.
Last time I checked, Willis, Cure Wounds doesn't work on houses.
So, talking of illegal, at least by what the military would like to be illegal, Caitlin!
Yay, I'm illegal! Hello, I'm Caitlin. I play Shard, my drow elf bard, who is having a very bad time. Took some levels in Warlock and is genuinely reconsidering all their life choices. Also, why do I have so many holes in me? I'm like Swiss fucking cheese right now.
Yes, Shard the Swiss cheese bard. And unfortunately, I cannot make a good segue to that. So last but not least, Chad.
Hello, I'm Chad. And today I will be playing everyone's favorite High Elf Simic Hybrid, Oberyn Duncan Vallon, the Spore Druid, who has gone through many shifts, but now has a stick firmly up his ass again about getting this shit done and destroying this island.
So, as a quick recap of the past episode or so, everybody finally made their way out of that military base, the home of trauma and the Ashdash. Made our way back to the cabins. We got to see some static snow, perhaps not a forest spirit, but who's to say at this point? Because what makes sense? Nothing, and that's what makes it fun, for me. And after very quickly taking down a group of religious fanatics who worship the bird god known as the Senzan, they were actually given the choice to spare the last one, but decided to continue to put more holes in it than Shard currently has in their arm.
That's a lot.
But that was a few days ago now. So the journey has continued. Ned is still human, Kindra is still a Fire Ganassi, and Turg is also here. I suppose one of the best things about travelling with Turg is he doesn't talk too much. He doesn't talk at all. But the journey has been slow going. It's been one of those periods of time where it feels like one thing after another has gone wrong. On the first day, Oberyn got to faceplant the snow black out for about 45 seconds and then wake up with a strange red mark between his gills. It looked kind of like a bug bite.
Fucking ouch.
And by the evening, the just general atmosphere of everything is terrible had worsened. As off the record, some time back, I asked this lovely little group of people to roll me a con save and pick a number between 1 and 10. And Shard, unfortunately, was the first one to really start feeling it. By the evening, they'd started getting horrible stiff cramps up their legs, neck, and back. And the arm along the brake line from the tsunami really started to twinge. Just adds a little bit of insult to injury given they have a hole in their hand.
In their other hand?
Charlie, when you woke up the next morning, everything was not okay in the world of Charlie. You were woken up by the violent urge to just vomit. And you did so.
I had the violent urge to vomit. And I vomit.
Charlie blows chunks all over the campsite.
Ah, not in the fire.
I'm not seeing that out.
Sorry.
You know what? It's now canon. Charlie blows chunks into the fireplace.
Ah, it's everywhere.
The fire does make it smell worse.
Yeah, the fire amplifies it. Because it cooks it.
This is fucking gross.
No idea where that was from.
You do feel quite better after that happens, though.
I do feel
even though your throat stings and your mouth tastes absolutely disgusting, no matter how many times you rinse it.
Well, this is new.
Moira, upon opening your eyes the next morning, it's not been particularly bright recently, but at the first sign of light, you got an agonizing migraine. If you try to force your eyes open, you can't see anything, it's too fuzzy. And any sound anyone nearby has made, including Charlie vomiting, is amplified.
God, what in the name of all that is wicked is wrong?
Even your own voice sounds like you're screaming into your own ears.
Moira keeps her eyes closed as best she can.
Moira lays face down on the ground, I guess.
What the hell? Why can I not see anything properly? Why have I got a headache? Charlie, did you punch me in the night or something?
I'll punch you again if that helps.
That will not help.
No, Targ, I'm just mad. Where?
Targ looks quite alarmed at the suggestion. And Oberyn, whilst everyone else around you is apparently in utter shambles, you managed to hold off for the longest. Meta.
Why am I suddenly surrounded by dragonborns?
They're everywhere.
Okay, that's also now canon. For a moment, you were surrounded by dragonborns. Everyone being terrible dragonborn costumes from nowhere.
Oh god.
This truly is the worst timeline.
Moves a chair, everyone's a dragonborn.
Oberyn, you don't seem to get any problems until later in the evening, by the time Moira's stopped lying face down on the ground. And Shard's joints have loosened up a bit. But just like when you called the statue of the Senzan stupid, you find yourself getting another lovely nosebleed. A heavy one.
Oh,
out of nowhere.
Jesus, not again. Not again. I didn't even say anything about your fucking bird this time. What's going on?
I
just hand over in some moss. I'm like, there you go.
Thank you, Shard. It's fine. I'll hold it. I don't feel like sticking moss up my nose today. It's
I wasn't saying up your nose, just to absorb some of it, you dingus.
It's fine. It's fine. I've been covered in worse.
I don't want to know.
That sounds weird, even for you, Oberyn.
As a DM, it is my job to remind you that Oberyn has been covered in Ned's bodily fluids the first time Ned died.
Yes.
But that's all going on. And it's just been on and off for a few days. These problems that you all seem to have seem to happen on clockwork at the same time the past 2-3 days.
How do I have this much blood in my body?
Shad's just lying down on the floor going, talk, whine at me in a minute.
I feel like we probably shouldn't have killed those bird people.
It's almost like we're getting terrible consequences for killing something we should have stopped, maybe.
He fucking deserved it.
Yeah, that's sort of fair. To be fair, the way I wasn't gonna let them insult like that, Shard.
Yep, I appreciate the solidarity. I'll appreciate it more when I'm not in agony on the floor.
Can I try casting cure wounds on Shard to stop the pain, or will it not work?
Let's see. You got a D6 hit die, haven't you?
I believe so, yes.
Moira does, yeah.
Okay. I mean, you can give it a go.
If you make it worse, I swear to God.
I'm going to only do it level 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 1d8 plus my spellcasting modifier. Okay, so that will be 1d8 plus 3. Okay, so that would be 7, it would be, normally.
Okay, it's not cured. Shard feels marginally better. Like they've been lying on the floor a bit longer than they have. And Moira takes 6 points of psychic damage.
Ah! I'm guessing that was bad.
Feels like I got the world's worst hangover all of a sudden.
Oh, it's like me in direct sunlight.
I hope it helped a little.
Not really, but I appreciate the sentiment.
That is so gonna suck.
I'm imagining this is going on, and Charlie and Oberyn are just watching the madness.
I was gonna say, I've probably been meditating for the past half an hour trying to ignore Moira whinging about her face and her ears and her eyes.
Says the one who vomits at clockwork every day.
Vomits and then meditates.
Vomits then meditates, and we all have to deal with it.
Oberyn's just counting down the hours till he knows his nose is about to start bleeding again.
Okay.
How many days has this been?
This has been happening for 3 days now.
Alright. On the third day, can I try something?
Yeah. As the minutes count down. Got a few minutes left until it happens.
After my nose finally stops bleeding this day, I would like to use a 4th level spell, and I'd like to use divination.
Okay. And what does that one do?
So your magic and an offering put you in contact with a god or a god's servant. You can ask a single question concerning a specific goal, event, or activity to occur within 7 days. The DM offers a truthful reply. The reply might be a short phrase, a cryptic rhyme, or an omen, or whatever. The spell doesn't take into account any possible circumstances that might change the outcome, such as casting of additional spells or loss or gain of a companion.
Okay, and that just happens.
It's a ritual, but it is instantaneous.
Okay. Is there any god in particular, or do you just get a random one?
No, I would actually, with this happening, and after my nose stops bleeding, I would basically like to kind of use my own blood to try and contact the stupid bird god that we saw to see if this is going to keep happening. And all right, no, my question is, are you doing this to us?
The stupid bird god, aka the Senzan.
Yeah, Senzan. I have it written down, but I also have it in air quotes, stupid bird god.
Stupid bird god.
The stupid bird god looks at you and considers your question. And despite having a beak, it's got really odd mouth movements. It just says,
no.
Really resisting every urge then to tell you to fuck off. But I'm not going to. I just basically after, because I kind of see it like, get like appear to be in the, like, hand, my hands full of blood. I just drop the blood. And then I guess I'll go trance to try and fucking deal with this later.
Okay. So Charlie's meditating. Oberyn is trancing. Shard is laying on the floor. And
patiently poking Turg, like, hello.
Turg is drawing pictures of squirrels on his notepad. I assume Moira is still upset.
Yes.
Ned is guarding the camp as best he can, with his all flat stats in one weapon.
It's just basically there to be a meat shield.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
For the benefit of the tape, I did consider rolling Ned's stats, and then I realized I like the idea of him just having flat stats all across the board.
Keep 1/3 level spell marked off for every day. Make sure that I keep casting Animate Dead on him.
So Ned is not particularly good at anything. That kind of sums up his whole life, really. Poor bastard.
I found a use for him.
He's more useful dead, and as the DM, I am genuinely fond of Ned. I repeat, poor bastard. A few hours pass. Shard, your pain subsides, and you can move like a normal elf again.
Yay!
Moira, it stops feeling like someone sucker punched you in the face.
Thank goodness for that.
The night's getting on. What could consist of night, I suppose. It's when the sky just seems to flicker slightly darker for a couple hours. But it's still grey, and you can still see. Shard, can you make me a con save, please?
Yep.
You sound so disappointed.
16.
Okay. You're fine for a minute, then.
Oh, yay. A whole minute.
Kendra comes and sits back to the fireplace. I believe there's not any puddles of sick in the camp to avoid.
No.
We would have made Charlie go outside.
So, what's the plan for today, as it were?
I mean, keep travelling, I assume.
Same direction?
Yeah. North.
Alright.
We're gonna need to... I think if we get further away from that statue as well, may actually help us as well. Because if that's what's causing these conditions, it's certainly gonna be weaker the further we go away from it.
Maybe.
It's not the bird statue.
It's not.
Why, have you not called it a dick recently?
No, and it wouldn't matter if I had called it a dick. I actually called the bird Senzan, the bird god.
Are you using special name this time, Evan, are you? Worth a change?
Well, this time I will, just because they did give me a straight answer, and they apparently are not involved.
Hmm. And they were being honest with you?
By the way my magic works, they are forced to be honest with me in this situation.
I see.
If I attempt to contact them again, there is a chance they could lie to me, but...
Fair enough. I suppose that's one thing then. They didn't say, they didn't know what was causing it either. But you're getting asked about it either, though, to be fair. Ignore what I'm saying, I'm just rambling.
Moira, I attempt to ignore you as often as I can.
You can feel the side eye.
You lot wait until I've at least, like, cleaned all my puncture holes before you start bickering.
I suppose, Shard. Just, this trek is getting a bit tedious, I won't lie. I think it is grinding on all of us.
Looks at the many holes.
Ah, yes, welcome to the campaign. Suffering is a competition.
Is there anything else I can do, Shard? I mean, last time I tried to help you, I got one hell of a headache.
Yeah, let's not affect you anymore.
I might have something in my pack, though. Maybe you to help bandage him, if I just have a look.
No, it's fine. The arrow holes are healing fairly well, and, you know, this clearly isn't healing.
Moira's rummaging. Yeah,
the wound from, like, the black spike from Turg's collar has not closed over. And just stays the same. It's great.
Moira pulls out a bag of sand, an ink pen, a crystal, a book, and then puts it all back in again, saying none of this is going to help.
Thank you for that astute observation.
Whilst Moira was pulling all the things out of her bag and labelling them like some strange kind of show and tell.
Oberyn's eyes rolled so far back that they actually rotated all the way back around.
He's possessed! Get him!
Oberyn saw his brain. And there's a loud enough just kind of thump as Turk collapses to the ground. Face down.
Turk?
I will check his pulse.
Make me a medicine check.
Can you find his pulse?
Last time Moira tried medicine on somebody, it was Ned and she broke his wrist.
I forgot about that.
19 plus 3, 22.
Luckily, half-orcs seem to have pulses in the same place as elves. As you find out, he is still alive.
Can I turn him on his side as Moira finishes checking?
Okay. Make me a quick strength check, because he is a bulky boy.
Can I help?
Athletics or just...
Just strength.
Can I help or...?
You can. Roll me a strength check.
I've got flat strength, damn it.
I've been paramedics, look at this.
Two.
No, never mind.
Moira's trying.
Moira struggles to lift.
Moira gets crushed.
Moira 19. Somehow manages to push Targ far over into the arc.
Oh, God.
I got a 19.
So... I can assume looking at Moira with just an expression of, what are you doing, you fucking clown?
The moment Moira's hand comes near him, I just like slap the hand away as I put him on the side.
Nope.
And put him in the, I can't remember what the position
is called.
One knee out, recovery position.
Well, I'm glad you remembered that, because otherwise there is a strong possibility he would start choking on his own blood.
Yeah, that's what I put him in that position.
So we've seen the blood coming out of his mouth now at this point.
Yeah.
Tug!
Tug is bleeding fairly heavily from his mouth. And the wound on his neck, where the collar was, is starting to weep a strange thin fluid.
It!
I make a check on the fluid. I've been the collector of all this gross stuff this whole time.
First pink and now green. No, purple, not green.
What kind of check did you want for that? Medicine or Arcana?
Dealer's choice.
I'll take medicine, and that... Oh, it's not great, but it is a 15.
While he's doing that, I'm going to spare the dying? My new candidate spare the dying to stop from dying.
Do you know if Turg is actively dying?
No, but I figure it can't hurt. It's a cantrip, spam it, so...
I mean, you can try. As for Oberyn, you've looked at enough of these fluids now to see this is probably part of your strange little collection. It's very watery compared to the others.
All right. I look at Shard, and I look at Moira, and I look at Charlie, and I go, I think that we need to open the wound up. They are clearly dying of the poison, one of the poisons that we have seen so far.
Okay. I can stabilize him, but I need to think that for me to do that, I'm going to stay focused on it.
You can only really use it if they're actively dying.
Well,
know if Targa's actively dying.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's totally cool.
I reach out to Shard and I go, can I have your dagger?
Yes. Got several. Pull out the cleanest dagger, because I'm not a monster.
I'm going to use my presentation cantrip ready to use it so I can clean the wound as it's being done. Keep it, clean.
Charlie, potentially, might be the best steady hand for this.
Steady hands, ignoring the calipers.
Looks at the big hole in mine. This is my main hand, so.
To be fair, I've got very shaky hands in real life, but Charlie would have very steady hands.
Who's doing what then? To start.
If you guide me over in, I might have a better chance with opening the wound.
Well, what we're going to need to do is literally bleed the wound to try and get as much of this out of them. It's clearly killing them at a pretty rapid pace. All of these things that we have found on this island have been devastating, and if that is still in their system, we have to get it out. None of us have any ability to save them if that keeps working.
Right. So we need to open the wound first properly so we can start bleeding out the system effectively.
Correct. I hand the dagger to Charlie. Moira, where was Turk's pulse?
I checked it in the wrist.
I will move over and I'll grab. I will monitor to make sure that they're still alive, because that wound is going to go very quickly.
Is there a risk? Bear in mind, Oberyn, when I was cutting that stuff out of your gills, I'm aware of how much that hurts. Is he even conscious right now?
I think we're running out of time, to be honest, Moira. We've got to.
Okay. I'm just making sure he doesn't move when you are, making sure he doesn't move when you're doing this, that's all.
Dad sits on Turk's chest to hold him down.
Moira is ready to clean the wound as it's been done.
Right, 3, 2, 1, and I'm gonna make the incision.
Okay, roll me a sleight of hand.
When did we get DIY surgery?
Since I'm using Oberyn's guidance, would that be classed as a help action, or...?
I'm going to say no for this first one.
Well, this is a sleight of hand one rather than the medicine one, so...
I'm proficient in medicine, you were not a sleight of hand.
You're a monk!
Probably for as a bit of violent information, DIY surgery has become very, very common. If you'll recall back to Laughter's Leg, things such as anesthetic are very hard to get hold of now. The general practice is bite down really hard on this stick. This is gonna hurt.
Mm.
That is a good roll for me, though. I got a 19, in total that's a 24 for sleight of hand.
This is most likely the first time you've done any sort of surgery. But maybe Charlie should have a career as a doctor, as the first cut is very, very neat. Obviously, immediately starts bleeding.
I see if the liquid is also, is there a larger quantity of that coming out than just the blood?
Yes.
How's Turk's pulse?
Let's see. It's there.
Charlie, this is a wonderful cut. We have to move quickly, though. Turk's not going to last long. This is going to sound counterintuitive, but I need you to push on the wound.
I get that. And I'll follow Nobrin's words. I am pushing on the wound.
Okay, medicine check. Shard.
Oh. Yeah.
Although Targ is unconscious, his body does start twitching, so make me a strength save to keep holding him down.
I'm just sounding like, no!
DM.
Yes?
With me cleric stuff, I chose proficiency in medicine. Is it am I not proficient yet?
I mean, officially on paper, Charlie has taken cleric, so yes, go on.
Okay. Another 19.
Okay.
Another 19, so plus 8. 27? No, okay. I don't know. 27, 26, something like that.
Something.
26.
Despite Shard being a tiny 5'3" elf and Targ being a 6'6" half orc, Shard somehow manages to keep him held in place.
No!
It's actually quite impressive to watch.
One-handed, both legs on the ground.
As Charlie presses on the wound, a large quantity of the liquid just comes flowing out.
And how is Turk's pulse now?
It's dropping.
My baby boy.
I'm carving precipitation to just keep cleaning it as it's coming out.
Yep, and it's doing that. The gunk, as it were, is just vanishing into thin air.
And at this point, looking up how much, what's the blood to gunk ratio that's coming out now?
There's still more blood than there is gunk, which is possibly to be expected given the wound was on his neck. So it's a rather delicate place, but you could have easily filled a large cup with the amount of gunk that's come out by now.
With that, I grab my common clothes that like I don't usually wear out of my bag, and I hand them to Charlie to, all right, at this point we have to stem the bleeding. Like, we need to start putting pressure on the wound to try and stop the wound from bleeding anymore. We will probably have to do this multiple times, but hopefully we've done enough to keep him alive for now.
I follow his words and just keep repeating.
Okay. Right, medicine check from Charlie, please, and strength check from Shard.
That's not as good.
Flat 16.
Okay. You are almost pushed off this time, but you still managed to keep your end in place.
I got an 8 plus an 8, so 16.
Okay. You both put pressure on the wound, and as the blood continues to seep out at quite an alarming rate, you're right, wait a minute, this isn't right, and you do put enough pressure on there to start stemming it. And Tarek's pulse drops a bit more.
Can I cast at this point? I'm going to try casting Cure Wounds to try and seal the hole.
Okay, roll me a d20 and tell me if you get odd or even.
Okay. Moira dies.
His head falls off.
Oh!
It's 17, so odd.
Okay. I will let you keep the spell slot, because as you try it, the blood does start to flow faster.
And you take
2 points of psychic damage.
Ouch.
Ah! Stick with the cleaning.
I'm trying.
Just clean, please.
Charlie, make me another medicine check as Moira slightly undone your work.
I swear to fucking God. That's even lower. That's a 15.
I suppose you break concentration for just a moment to tell Moira off, or even just to look at her. Maybe slap her hands again. Jesus Christ, these dice want Tarik to die. His pulse is just dropped even more.
Charlie, pressure!
As I feel the pulse drop again with my right hand, you see my other hand, and I cast Flame Blade and form the small dagger that I used before. And I go, Charlie, hold it and move what I say.
Yes.
Vietnam flashbacks.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Charlie, sleight of hand, Oberon medicine.
Nice. You've not let me down so far. Ooh. I get a plus 5, so 15 again.
Okay.
I got a 21.
Okay. It's an oddly fantastic bit of synchronized teamwork that it seems the moment Charlie moves the now rather disgusting common foes, Oberon was able to start sealing the wound up.
Moira, check his pulse.
I will do so.
Moira, make me a medicine check.
One moment, I just went off the page on my screen. That's
anyone. Moira is using forbidden technologies with her own skills.
Forbidden!
16.
Okay. I changed my mind. This dice wants Tarik to live as he starts to stabilize, for lack of a better term.
His pulses remain the same, Oberon.
See, Oberyn's slowly, like, moving the flame little dagger that he created to get the last of the, like, wound closed. And then you kind of just see Oberon fall back onto his ass, just looking at the situation. What in the fuck is happening to us?
I don't think it was the magic in the forest, do you?
No, that's the collar. Because that's the wound from the collar when we took it off.
True, but the rest of us in general, it's got to be that magical filter the forest had, surely.
So that's what would have happened to Laughter.
No.
That's what's going to happen to me.
Oh, God.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well, we aren't going to be crossing any bridges. As I look at the incapacitated Hulk that is Tarik, we can't carry him. Look at us. The four of us are in terrible shape. Ned is, you know, Ned. And Kira can't lift.
Kendra.
We're trapped.
Well. Camping.
Fine. Moira put up the hut.
No, that's not what I was implying, but okay.
Well, to be fair, we need shelter. If Tarik's going to recover at all, we need to meet in some kind of shelter.
Shelter's just going to build a fire, but okay.
The hut is up, so we now have shelter for 8 hours at least.
Kerry's face makes me panic.
Concern.
Just wondering if Moira has a death wish, that's all.
Yeah, Moira keeps casting magic and it backfires.
Every time Moira casts magic, something bad happens. So
Moira's like, oh,
points
I know.
Are just a fun
ow! Thing. In a minute, Moira's head's just going to explode. She's like, okay, pop.
Does the heart go up or not?
Roll me a d20, tell me if you get all or even.
Even.
The heart does go up this time. But in a slightly meta sense, you feel like it's not going to last for as long as it should.
It's not as strong as it normally would be, guys. So I don't know when it's going to drop, but it's something.
What time of day is it right now?
It's always daytime now, but by what little remains of your internal clock, it should be somewhere close to dawn.
Has my nose bled yet today?
Not yet, it's not time for that.
Son of a bitch.
still got, let's see. That's the wrong dice. You still got 7 hours before that happens.
All right. Huh? Well, we don't have much time, Moira says. Let's at least try and move Turk inside as carefully as we can. Try and give him a little bit of warmth and comfort.
I'll put a heart around us, so it's easily inside of it, because you have to do it inside. You can't move something inside that was outside beforehand.
Sorry, I'm not a tiny hut master like you.
You guys did all the heavy lifting in this. I can care for Turk right now. Moira, stop casting magic before it makes your head explode.
I'm help. I'm sorry.
And Charlie, if you're going to vomit, do it outside.
If you're inside the hut, you go out as much as you want.
I just found like a toilet roll tube and I hold it in my mouth and stick it out. Don't. So it just goes like, and then when I put it back in, it closes.
Charlie makes a disgusting vomit gun.
Shard refuses to acknowledge said vomit gun.
Shotgun tube.
Oh. Luckily, it's not time for that to happen yet. But
yet.
Charlie has a toilet roll tube.
It
cometh for everyone.
The bell toll for me.
Okay, so what are you all gonna do whilst Oberyn waits for his nosebleed, Moira waits for her migraines to come back, Shard waits for their joints to stiffen up, and Charlie waits to use her disgusting vomit gun?
I'm gonna tidy up Turg's neck wound and kind of like some spare clothes I have over him so he's not cold.
By this point, he's semi-conscious, just laying on the ground but making no attempt to move.
I'm probably going to get some sleep at this point. Charlie now starts sleeping on her side, just obviously. The vomiting's clockwork nowadays, so I start sleeping on my side more often.
It doesn't happen until you wake up, so...
I still don't fucking trust it.
Asking the questions, even I haven't answered yet. Does it happen when you have one of those dreams where you wake up and then you wake up for real?
Oh, those are awful.
They're weird. And Moira, Oberyn?
I would like to stop and chat with Shard for a moment.
Moira's going to just try and nurse the incoming headache that she knows is going to be coming again. Whilst, you know, lending some of the fabrics that's in her bag to Shard to help with any bandage dressing.
Shard, how close are we to the camp?
At the pace we're going at, though the forest did take us a weird way round. Yeah, geographically, how far would I say we are?
On the usual routes, even at the pace you're travelling, you are still several days away from it. But the Laird isn't wanting to play nice, so it's a little harder to gauge now.
Minimum 3 days.
I was hoping we were closer.
Well, the tunnels are normally faster, but they all went with the tsunami, so...
Shard, I don't know what we can do about Turk. If they don't recover, we can't carry them.
I'll fucking try.
I'm not trying to say we are to leave Turk. What I'm saying is, in our condition, we are physically unable to do this. Moira can't even keep this tiny hut up for her normal amount of power. Something is clearly affecting us in this forest, and at this point, I don't know what we are to do about it.
What else can you do? We just keep going. You've been through worse than this.
I have. But I survived because I was alone. We are in a group now. A chance of survival doesn't always grow in a group.
Well, if a big ice bear comes out, we'll just run faster than the slowest person.
Oberyn gives Shard a toothy smile for a moment. I'm glad to see the trauma hasn't fully destroyed your humor.
Hey.
I'm glad to see Turk is at least awake.
I'm kind of like petting his hair.
He waggles his
not
fingers.
Oberyn, that's weird.
I'm going to take Ned and scout ahead. See if I can find anything of use. Maybe we can make a stretcher or something to try and help us carry Turk.
So Oberyn is off adventuring.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ned with me and head out a little ahead. Scout the path ahead of us, at least. Also see if I can find any, you know, maybe like very large tree branches or something that I could try and make a makeshift stretcher out of.
Okay. Before you do that, can you roll me a perception check, please?
I would love to roll you a perception check. I get a... This is exactly what I wanted. That's a crit 20. And to my perception, I add 13 now. So that is a 33.
Okay.
I perceive time, its fucking self.
Oberyn literally sees through time, and he sees the end, but he doesn't quite get close enough to read the notes.
It just says, whoa. Time wizard.
It just says, haha, get fucked.
Checks out.
Damn time wizards.
But in reality, two things seem to happen at the same time. Oberyn, possibly on high alert due to everything that happened, in the corner of your eye for a split second, you see the shadow. And then, without any real warning, Shard collapses to the ground.
I'm sorry, I saw my shadow? Or I saw Shard's shadow?
You saw the shadow.
That's what I thought. Do I see where the shadow went?
You just sort of caught it out the corner of your eye as if it was walking past you. And then Shard collapses to the floor. And starts convulsing, really.
Okay, two things. One, with my circle of spores, do I feel anything in the area? 20-foot radius around me at all times.
Just Shard and Turk and Ned. As he's ambling along.
Son of a bitch. I will dive down to Shard and see if I can do anything for them immediately.
Okay, make me a medicine check.
That's not very good. That's 13.
Okay.
No, 14.
I'll tell you what, you can have it at advantage, given you've just been Dr. Oberyn.
Not much better, but a little better. That is now a 18.
Okay. As Shard's body is violently convulsing, you can see the hand is starting to leak the same fluid that's coming from Tarek's neck.
Fuck. I grab anything. Is there like any piece of wood around? I grab the dagger from before, and I put the hilt in Shard's mouth so they don't swallow their own tongue. Their own tongue, first of all, if they're convulsing like that. And then I will grab their hand, and I will scream at the other ones, "We are fucked!"
The other two notice anything.
I wake up and look. I think Oberyn Shard might wake up and then very quickly realize what's going on again.
Moira is quickly by Oberyn's side. What am I going to do?
DM. I have a terrible thing that I want to do, and I will take on some consequences for it. But I, as my, you know, animal stuff, I'm my vampiric touch. Can I try and, like, suck some of the poison out of, like, Shard using that? And since I am a spore druid and also quite, like, adept with, like, poisons and things, like, I'm pretty much immune to them. Like, is there any way I could try and take on some of this? And I'll happen, but...
You know, I hadn't planned for this, somehow. And I absolutely love this idea, so yes.
So with each of my hands, I'll put one of my hands right on the hole that where Shard like was cut by the collar, and I'll put my other one like right on their neck for the like jugular vein, so the largest portion of the neck.
Let's see. I'm going to have to get you to roll some damage for Shard.
That's all right. It's 4d6 damage.
Okay. And whilst this is happening, Charlie and Moira, you can see Shard obviously in Oberyn's arms as he's getting ready to drain them of the poison, I suppose. They apparently appear to be having some kind of seizure, so what do you do?
Hey, Peter Oberyn, what do you want me to do?
I don't know, Moira.
There's nothing like rough near Shard's head or their body in general, is there? Exhaustively, if they're having a seizure, last thing we need them to do is hit their head on like a rock or something.
Are they literally in Oberyn's arms, basically?
I should imagine it so at this point.
Because I was going to like support the head if that's the case. I stand ready to help. I ready myself to help. Not sure what else I can do apart from maybe precipitation to clean this, but nothing else I can really do. I'm just gonna hop because if I use any magic, it's gonna make my head explode at some point. So
just imagine Moira whipping out the polish to start cleaning. Moira starts cleaning the windows of the tiny hut.
That's also 19 points of damage. I roll pretty high on that.
Okay. But, you know, I'm glad you did. Because in this case, the more damage that was rolled, the more of the poison you've got to extract. Well, I call it a poison. Not really what it is. I can't roll that one because I will fucking kill you. Let's see. And in doing so, you will take... Let's do some quick math. 19 damage of what I'm going to class as an unspecified type.
Cool. I completely take that damage.
And after a minute or two, the convulsions stop and Shard is still unconscious. But you can feel underneath your hands the thin liquid just still flowing.
I don't... Do either of you know if we are close to anything right now? We need someone's assistance. None of us are going to survive if we keep dropping like this and are stuck in the middle of this fucking forest.
DM, Charlie's been here like 4 years.
Yeah.
Would I have any knowledge of anything nearby?
To my recollection, Charlie never really strayed that far from Larton and Penshaw Port.
No. But
so I'm afraid...
You're
No, the furthest you've been is with the group, and so unfortunately not.
Would Moira
know? Finally, there was someone who's been there their entire life. Moira.
Roll me... What should we call this?
History?
Yeah, roll me history at disadvantage.
Okay.
Because whilst we specified, Moira has travelled. We never went over the specifics of places like this.
Oh. My lowest is a dirty 20.
Okay. Moira pulls out a park ranger hat from nowhere and puts it on. No, that doesn't happen, but I like the mental image.
Okay.
Today we're going to learn about grizzly bears. Moira, you've seen a lot in your time on the island. And there's a strong possibility you've at least walked around the outskirts of where this forest is before. But if you've been here before, the layout has changed. And generally speaking, trees don't uproot and move themselves. I say, as not too long ago, a tree uprooted and moved itself.
I'm saying this out loud about the layout being different. Open.
Yes, Moira.
You can talk to trees, can't you?
Yes.
Maybe they can give us some... Maybe they can point us in the direction where we could get some help.
Trees aren't really like that, Moira. They don't move about. They don't know what... To try and explain what safety to a tree would be quite difficult.
I get that, Moira. I get that, Oberyn. But the fact of the matter is that you encountered a tree that had moved. They may know these trees are not where they're meant to be.
Moira, at this moment, I'm willing to try anything, but I'm telling you that last time talking to the tree was, had some would say, just really stumped me.
We need to help Shard, and I mean, we can carry Shard a problem, but we can't carry everybody.
Oberyn, looking at Oberyn, he's fairly strong, isn't he?
Metally, yeah, he's decently.
So with Charlie being a bit meta-y. Moira, how would you do with carrying Shard?
Badly.
What happens if we assisted to get them on your shoulder?
I mean...
And you ditch the heels for it.
I don't wear the heels in the snow.
You could take...
From looking at her, you've seen thicker spaghetti noodles than Moira's arm muscles.
If you take Shard, me and Oberyn could tag team Turk. It's going to be a killer couple of days, depending on how long they're out, but I don't see any other option. We're running out of time here.
Shard told me that we have at least another 3-day trek ahead of us through the snow. At least.
Shard. Everything on your end is black. But you can hear the party talking.
It's like, ah, great, I can't see.
Then you just hear, it's time for you to go.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And just like that, you are returned to consciousness.
You don't swallow the knife, do they?
I should imagine, after waking up very, very suddenly with a knife in their mouth, Shard has some questions.
Shard spits out said knife.
Moira ducks.
Shard.
Oh, thank God.
What?
You collapsed.
Yeah, I got that part.
Oberyn, liquid, scary. words I hadn't got
from you.
I expected it to happen at some point. Was not expecting it to be that fast.
How do you... This is going to take a redundant question, but how do you feel?
Shit.
They're back.
What are my veins like, DM?
They are exactly the same as they were. You are off on your own little adventure, as it were.
So, I know... This is like the weirdest way to phrase this, but it's like...
The party cannot see it.
Yeah, they are exactly as I know they are.
Yes.
But, okay, great. Oh, great, I didn't dream that. Shit.
Dream?
Some vision thing. Had a very long conversation with the lake spirit. Also lake spirit. Some dickhead.
These are off. Actually, did he give us the name? I'm sure he did.
These are off, yes.
Yeah.
Vizaroth's fine. He's chill. He answered some questions I had.
I like call out in my head to see if I get a response. I'm like, oi, bastard!
Nothing responds to you, but your fingers wave at yourself like that.
Ah! Oh, for fuck's sake.
Right. Well...
Right. Oben, you're no longer the weirdest person in the party, Oben.
Thank you, Moira. As always, you know exactly the right thing to say at exactly the right moment.
Trying to change the subject a little bit. We still... I don't know how long this hat's got on it, so... We may need to think about moving sooner rather than later, because... I can try putting that one up, but... Gonna hurt.
You've been in here for about perhaps an hour at this point, so I'm going to say you have 3 hours left.
Okay.
There's almost like a little parking meters. There's almost one of them on the wall at this point, showing you how long you have left.
We've got some time to prep, but
I'm going back with my original plan. Shard, I hope you're okay. I'm going to go and try and find something so we can carry Turk. I need a moment to collect myself, and you all are making my head hurt.
Yeah, you and me both.
Shard's just kind of glaring at their fingers.
And I'll exit the tiny hut.
Okay. Ned appears by your side. Like the very loyal companion character he is.
Can I look at my hands?
Yeah. Are you looking for anything in particular?
Well, I mean, they already have, you know, the black hole for my vampiric stuff, but now, can I, like, see the liquid, like, in them? You said it was, like, right under my skin. Like, do they look any different?
They look dirty, as if you've just kind of dumped them in an almost inky water. But there's nothing else to note.
Well, Ned, I'm sure this won't end up hurting me in the future. All right, we must scout ahead. And please, if you see any very large tree branches, point them out, Ned.
He nods and goes scurrying off. He's still... I wonder if time will ever undo how terrified he is of you at this point.
I hope not. And I will follow after Ned to investigate, to see if I can see what's going on ahead of us on the path A, and B, to see if I can find anything to construct a makeshift stretcher.
Okay, if you could roll me 2 separate investigations.
Yeah, I got a dirty 20 and a 19.
Okay. Almost right away, you come across a little cove of strong branches, as though someone's been cutting trees down in this particular area. Only a few of them, and they've left you the good ones. You must have known you were coming.
Awesome.
Wait, that's unsettling.
At this point, the forest has already spoke to us. I don't find anything unsettling in this fucking place. I'll find two big branches and I will hand them to Ned to carry.
Let's see, can Ned carry them? He might have to make two trips because that was a flat six.
That's fine, Ned. That's your job. Take one back now and come back here and get the other.
There's just a scraping as Ned drags a large branch along. He's doing his best. And the other one, it was to see the air, see if there's anything nearby, was it?
Yeah, basically to scout ahead to see if there's anything going on in the path ahead of us.
Aside from the whole lot of forest, there doesn't appear to be that much else around. Just tree after tree. And a fallen tree. That's about the only thing that breaks uniformity of trees.
Wonderful. Alright, I'll head back to the party. Then to form a makeshift stretcher.
Okie dokie. Are you making it yourself then, or?
Yeah. Been in the forest a fair amount of time.
Okay, can you roll me a sleight of hand at advantage then? Because, as you've just said, you've been in the forest quite a long time.
That is only a six.
It takes you a few attempts, and you manage to give yourself quite a few splinters in the process.
Son of a bitch.
And what are the rest of you up to in that time?
Fingo might come foraging.
Okay.
Just see if I can find anything to supply-wise to help us.
I suppose it also gives you a bit of peace from the others.
We would have stayed with Charge, probably.
Okay. Charlie, roll me a nature check, please.
I'm not good at nature.
Oh dear.
This is a decent
roll. 16 minus 1.
Okay.
15.
You find some rather delicious looking berries, and then something in your brain says, no, these are poisonous. You now have some poisonous berries in your possession.
I eat them.
Did you say you eat them or yeet them?
Eat them. I realise I'm like, get on. Realise they're poisoning something. For fuck's sake, you just yeet them.
They scatter.
You came back with them, Sean just would have slapped you.
Happy on birthday.
Yeah, I'll make a slow walk around and eventually come back to the others.
On your way Moira. Back there, you do find a patch of wild garlic.
Ooh.
Get in.
Garlic comes back smelling like garlic.
Some garlic.
Nice.
I'll use it in a recipe at some point.
Garlic says, no, my Moira. Garlic.
I trust Moira to cook, I just pass it to them. But obviously they got to catch it. I just pass.
It's raining garlic, it. Hallelujah.
I'm not a dick with the throne, but I just like give it a little yeet to Moira.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted a conversation.
Moira?
Yes?
What did you mean about Oberyn taking liquid? I was too busy, you know, coming back to consciousness.
It's like he was, like a better term, sucking the poison out of you.
Fucking idiot. Okay. Have a word with him when he gets back about self-sacrifice.
To be fair, we were sort of panicking.
I know, but like, I just got hit in the hand. Tug got hit in the neck.
You were spasming.
Yeah, well, I've got a weird demon in my head now, so you know.
Wait, so that's in your head now?
I'll explain once we're all back together. It's easier than having to repeat myself.
Understand, but we're here for you.
I know, but you know, there's not really anything you can do about a weird substance in my veins.
We can't, but maybe we can find something that can.
Yeah, well, please don't let any vampires near me.
If you need...
I see you, Chad, with your shifty looks.
If you need any, if you need some to like take a rest as we're travelling, I can summon a horse for you to ride.
Okay. Maybe keep that for Turk, hon.
I will. I'm just saying that if you need it, it's there.
It's fine. I've lived on sheer stubbornness for decades.
Fair enough.
So, Charlie's found some garlic. Moira can summon a horse. I genuinely did not know that.
I've had that for several levels. I've never used it.
Yes, every time I look at Moira's sheets, I find something new. It's quite fun.
I can spot the difference.
Phantoms, I literally am Mike Channel, I think, sometimes.
And Oberyn has by now finished swearing at a stretcher.
Yeah, I'll drag the stretcher into the tiny hut. All right. I've at least fashioned something so we can try and transport Turk.
Turk is still lying on the ground at this point.
How big is the stretcher big enough for him to be rolled onto, pretty much, and then we can drag it behind the horse?
We're not dragging him along the floor.
Could we affix it to the horse? Like, build the stretcher onto the horse's back?
Why do... Let's
we'll probably just have to carry the stretcher, unfortunately, Moira.
I'm trying.
And by that, I mean...
murdering. Oh, sorry.
Us lot, not you, because you have noodle arms.
And aren't your spells, like, murdering you at the moment anyway? Or trying to?
I'll do what it takes. I'll do whatever it takes to help you guys.
Remember what I just said about self-sacrifice?
Yes, I'm aware, but sometimes you have to make a few... take some pain to get some gain, as it were.
Yeah, but not when we can take the pain instead of you taking all the pain.
It's called teamwork. Also, Oberyn, I have a bone to pick with you.
Right, we can all have a bone to pick with each other at a later time. Turk is dying. We need to go. We can... quibble over every other bit of semantics later. We need to keep moving.
Tug's conscious right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just lying there.
He's like sort of made to get up at one point and then seems to have given up and gone back to the floor.
I relate. He's not... If he's gone through something similar to what I just went through, he's gonna feel like shit for a while, but he should be okay.
We also don't know if we got all of the poison out of Turk. His wound was much more severe than yours.
Well, the substance the poison's derived from is made to kill half-breeds, so you'll be fine, apparently, Oberyn.
Well, good.
Because apparently you took some from my veins.
Once again, we can quibble later. We need to move.
Before we do, can I ask you a question?
I feel you're not going to let us progress unless I answer, so yes.
Do you know anything about a plague that hit this island about 100 years ago?
Would I have researched this plague there? DM?
Roll me history, please.
Do I get anything? Hey, I get stuff in the history. That is a 25.
Okay, yes. One of the perks of being from a wealthy family is you are very well educated, and you've been given chapter and verse about this plague. And that it was largely man-made. And whilst it did seem very, very targeted towards quote-unquote half-breeds, it was never strictly said that was the sole reason.
I know of the plague you speak. Shard, why are you asking about this now? That was 100 years ago.
Well, whatever's... kind of wave the hand. Whatever's in my veins and in Turg's is derived from that substance. It's also apparently... I don't get how I never found out about this. I guess I'm just... I mean, subpar education, I guess.
Maybe you were living under a rock.
Probably. Or I was being thrown in jail by racists. Either or. But how many other drows have you seen? Or shadow elves? Or half orcs?
Shard, you know as well as I that you are kind and not by my choice or my family's are not quite respected in the upper echelons of society, so the number is very few.
Yeah, that's because we were all targeted by that plague.
So once again, if that is what is in both yours and Turk's veins, we need to stop with the dilly-dallying and we need to move. For I if this was targeted to kill half creatures, and it somehow affected you, Shard, we need to go.
I don't know how reliable the word of whatever this fucking voice in my head is, but it's not a fast-acting thing. So we at least have some time. And it's... I mean, to quote, do you want it to kill you? So, you know. I'm like shoving Turg onto a stretcher.
Turg is attempting to get up again.
I was like, crawl into the stretcher, Turg.
Gets onto all fours and then immediately just kind of flops over.
I shoves the stretcher on the way he flops.
He tries to tell you that he's not doing this deliberately.
I know.
His bones appear to be feeling like jelly from the way he's moving. But he eventually does make it onto the stretcher, looking quite sorry for himself.
Can I strap the fingers of my right hand together? Like as in how you'd brace a broken finger?
Yeah.
I don't trust this thing not to, like, move my hand when I don't want it to, so I'm just gonna make it as hard as possible.
You strap your fingers together easily, and in the back of your mind, it's almost inaudible. You can hear something laughing at you.
Fuck you.
Shard tells the Iron Man to fuck off.
I know that feeling.
Right, if we're ready, Moira, you can drop the heart.
It stays up until necessary. I can't dismiss it, I don't think. So we can just walk out of the hut. Leave behind, it's fine.
Well, you're not going to be able to help carry, so lead on.
Okay. What I might do is, in case anyone is tracking us, I might... Is that a better term? Set it on fire inside? As we
leave? That bring even more people to us?
To that, not to us.
And hurt
we
you
are
more.
Walking!
You're burning the hut down, just so we're on the same page.
I can't actually burn it to the ground. I'm just gonna like change the colour of it.
Fire?
Fire seems like a bad choice of words. Maybe I'll make it like snow covered. Actually, having said that, is it still snowing or not?
You're under the cover of the trees. There's snow on the ground, but it's very thin.
Okay. Okay, I sense the exasperation in your voice there, Kerry. I'm so sorry. I'll receive a heart as it is. No, I won't do anything with it because Moira's not completely stupid. Do not give me that look, Alex.
Are you sure you're not like a charisma caster or something?
Charlie, do you wish to grab the other end of the stretcher before we go into a 10-minute long rant about Moira's intelligence?
Yeah, sure.
Do that whilst walking, it's fine.
But yes, Kendra's still a ganassi.
When you need Kendra and I can switch out as well.
Alright.
Kendra flexes with her plus one strength.
Laughs in my flat strength, but sheer stubbornness.
Apparently my room
is a
Charlie,
heave ho!
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah. I need to interrupt you.
Does this require strength or...?
Roll strength for advantage because there's two of you. Targ is a bulky boy, but...
Would this count as athletics because we're walking for a while while lifting this?
You really want athletics, Jesus
I'm
Christ.
Proficient! I'm proficient!
Because you are practically wetting yourself to use athletics, go on.
Yay. It's only because I'm proficient, that's why I ask.
At advantage, I rolled a 5.
Okay, so my roll's decent enough then, at advantage, because it would have been like a flat 1 otherwise. Crit 1 if it was a disadvantage. Numbers. 19 all in.
Luckily, Charlie was at the end of the stretcher where Targ's head is. As Oberyn attempts to pick it up, and it's either some sort of pain or you've given yourself such a massive splinter that your immediate reaction is to drop it again.
Oops, sorry.
Don't drop the money!
Sorry. Let me try that again. Oh, that's smarted.
Roll me athletics at double advantage. Otherwise, we're not going anywhere in a hurry.
Well, both of us or just him?
Just him, because you're still holding it. Admittedly, kind of oddly now.
That's an 18.
Okay, that's better. You pick it up and keep hold of it this time. Tarek looks worried.
All right, Moira, Shard, lead on.
Moira leads the... Well, sort of leads the way. Moira's more like shepherding Shard, because Moira's still worried about what Shard.
Shard purposefully ignores this.
Okay.
About halfway down... Oh, sorry.
After you?
No, I was going to say about halfway on this... About half an hour during this walk, I just say quietly to see if I get a response from Oberyn to me.
What was that?
Hey, dang it. Never mind, didn't get the joke. Of course you didn't get
denied. Okay, so if Moira's taking the lead, roll me a survival check, please.
Last time we had Moira take the lead, we got lost.
I know. And it was funny.
Here's the problem, it's just you two are carrying things and I'm coming out of a seizure.
The two people with wisdom are not the ones leading. This feels like a bad decision.
22.
Oh.
Who are
Moira.
You?
Moira has a plus 3 to wisdom.
Since Moira when? Manages to successfully lead you all in a straight line.
Moira's stats.
That's on Gary.
Moira's stats for the record.
Why is your wisdom higher than your intelligence?
I don't know.
For you're a wizard!
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're an idiot, Moira.
As we have found out.
You know, I've said it quite a few times recently, and I'll say it again. I love Moira. This is one of the reasons why. So, as I said, with apparently much sass, Moira manages to lead you all in a straight line through the trees. Not even any wavering. Moira's taking her job very seriously, apparently. I mean, it's a forest and you've been here a long time. You could arguably have the world's most boring game of I Spy. Most answers will probably be tree. That you go on. and on and on. And it probably feels like forever, but you've only been on the move for an hour or two. And Charlie and Oberyn, make me a strength check, please. Or a strength save, should I say.
Ooh. 10.
17.
Okay. There is two of you doing it, but you are carrying like a 350-pound half-orc on a stretcher. And whilst Charlie is quite disciplined, being mostly a monk and all that, Oberyn, your arms are really starting to ache now.
Because I don't want to show weakness, I'm going to use a third level spell, and I'm going to cast Guardian of Nature on myself.
Okay.
And, oh, I'm sorry, it's a fourth level spell. That's why I couldn't find it there. Guardian of Nature. So it's a bonus action, and I cast it on myself, and a nature spirit answers your call and transforms you into a powerful guardian. And I am choosing the primal beast. Fur covers my body, and my features become feral. But I get walking speed of increased by 10. I gain dark vision of 120 feet. I make all strength-based things with advantage, and my melee weapon attacks deal an extra d6 of damage. But that's not what I care about right now. I just want to be able to make some strength stuff.
Okay. Reroll me that strength at advantage. And Charlie, you turned around to see Oberyn has turned into God knows what. Only the gods know.
Yeah, instead of it's actually like a blue like fur. He almost kind of looks a little bit like Sully from Monsters, Inc., except creepier.
So Oberyn has turned into a character from a film you vaguely remember seeing as a child.
Yup. Damn right.
Did you eat any of those berries, Charlie?
I swear you look like one from Ink Monster.
What was that?
You know, never mind, Oberyn. Just carry on growing the hair out your back or whatever.
Can you see that too, or am I really high?
I mean, we're high up. If that counts.
No, Oberyn is really doing that.
Oberyn's fuzzy now, yeah? I'm not just having another seizure.
You're not having a seizure from what I can tell, but okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's becoming some kind of...
Does anyone know why?
He hasn't explained that.
Tarik opens his eyes and then immediately decides this is a good time to go back to sleep.
Tarik's like, nope.
Just smirk. A smirk at him saying that.
Oberyn?
What?
What's with all the hair?
I'm carrying Turk. Don't worry about it. Just keep moving. What part of quibble later? Don't worry about
what
I'm
doing back here.
We're
walking as you say this.
Walk faster.
So you're carrying Turk. Who's
Turk? Why do you all keep saying Turk?
Because I just watched Tarzan and I can't get it out of my head.
What is that Turk every time?
I'm in character as those two.
You're right. Carrying Turg. Who's carrying the wind of the stretch? Oh, the stretcher doesn't even carry now. Ignore me.
The stretcher is carrying itself.
Okay.
The
magic
stretcher. It's being carried by a bigger stretcher.
Ignore me. I can't believe
that. Isn't that what hands are? Bigger stretchers.
Moira, you just need to go back down the mountain and get some air. Actually, that's a bad idea, because you'll never catch back up.
Kendra walks beside Moira and asks, did you wash any of that, like, stuff that was foraged in the forest before you ate it?
Ate what? I haven't eaten any berries or garlic or nothing. It's in my pack.
That wasn't what I asked.
Oh...
Can I give Bardic Inspiration to each of the party?
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to need it.
D8 at the moment, isn't it?
Happy Christmas, have a D8.
Okay. Aggressive flute playing.
Aggressive. Shard just sees this, pulls out the flute, looks at it with their wrapped up hand and is like, fuck it, and just blows one note.
No.
You don't get my beautiful music right now, I'm in a shit mood.
Mood.
When Shard is in a good mood, you get beautiful music. When Shard is in a shit mood, you get year three record but banned. Don't think they actually teach kids how to play the recorder in schools anymore. I'm showing my age.
They still do sometimes.
Might have been learning. So unfortunately you don't get a lovely flute solo, you get one probably quite pissed off sounding note. And what did you get for that strength, that advantage?
Oh, sorry, 18 this time.
Okay, yeah. Your arms don't even know the meaning of the word tiredness now.
Whoa.
So, Moira, roll me a survival check, please. You are the leader.
I am.
Lord help us.
Can I use that bardic inspiration dice at this point?
Yes, you can use it as long as you don't know what the DM hasn't told you what the outcome would be.
Not yet, no. That's fine. Okay, well that's total of the 13.
In Moira's mind, she has been taking you in the same straight direction, but somewhere along the line, you've all veered to the left. And given Moira's the one navigating, apparently none of you have noticed right now. Until you passed the tiny hut as it fades away.
Moira. No, no, no.
I start heavy breathing just to try and calm myself down.
Charlie does breathing exercises.
So you will not snap Moira's neck.
Chad walks away from the group, sticks their head in like a snowdrift, screams, then walks back over.
Moira, I'm not mad.
Just disappointed.
Thoroughly disappointed.
Did my best.
Char, do you mind leaving? Might get somewhere.
Yeah,
and turns out to get a bit heavy.
I mean, I offered to swap part of the way through, but Oberyn then turned into a bear or something.
Yeah,
well, that's long since faded. It only lasts for a minute, so I just use it for that one strength check.
So Shard is leading now.
I'll take point. Kindra, can you take the back? Just if you see that we're going off piece, just yell at me.
Oh, you're covered.
The snow should have woken me up by now, but you know, if I pass out, just let me sleep on the floor.
We'll put you on the stretcher on top of Turk.
No, that's not fair on them.
Anyone passes out, they just get thrown to the top.
Wait till Turk wakes up, then put me on the stretcher.
Charlie will just walk along the stretcher in one hand, Shard under the other arm.
Come along. 5'3", small bean under the arm like a football.
Wait, hasn't Shard had enough of that recently?
Yeah, well. This is my life now.
Okay. So, Shard, survival check, please.
Oh, I forget Shard weighs 55 kilograms.
Shard's
so small.
I'm so tiny.
All hollow bone, maybe.
Sort of elbows that could shank you.
That's 23.
Okay. Given your experience in navigating your way around tunnels, really it's not too much different on the surface. This was a blessing in disguise because there's a strong possibility that there's an easier path in the direction you're about to take. Shard starts leading the party in a straight line.
Along, children!
But a different straight line.
Yeah.
Moira puts her head down and follows.
Say, could all of you roll me a nature check real quick?
The trees are trying to eat you.
Darn
too. I'm using my bardic inspiration already. Okay, that's decent, because that was an 8 on that die, so that's in total... ...18 in total, because of the bardic inspiration.
20 plus what?
3.
Okay.
I got a 15.
Crit 24.
Okay. Shard, since you rolled the highest, I believe, you're walking along, leading the party. You realize there's almost a uniformity to these trees. Almost as if they're planted along a grid system.
What is this? Urban planning simulator?
What do you want about Shard?
The trees, they're planted in like a grid. Like, this is deliberate. This isn't natural overgrowth.
Well, great. I'm sure we're not walking into another trap.
Why would you bother planting these in the middle of nowhere? No, you plant them in like a grid near your home base. So potentially there are people nearby.
Underground, possibly? Just no idea.
Maybe.
I mean, the ground is covered in snow, so...
Honestly, I'd rather be on the ground.
Poor Shark. As a small bonus, though, because of the way the trees are planted, it's very easy to take note of your surroundings. You can just see through all the gaps that go on for a long time. It's almost a little unsettling.
It's like those airport car parks.
Yeah.
Everyone remember where we parked.
Everyone remember where we parked in the tiny hut.
We certainly remember where we parked as when we came back to it.
You turned back because somebody forgot their jumper.
God damn it.
Who forgot their hoodie?
Who forgot the tickets?
It's possibly the reason it feels like you're not really getting anywhere. It's because you can just walk up a straight line and there's endless trees. Hope you all like trees.
No.
Nobody likes trees anymore.
Nobody likes trees. Angry drow elf noises.
At this point, I want to look at Moira. I know... Moira, come here.
Yes.
Ned, can you come over here as well?
Ned does as he's told.
You're leaving me with Ned?
Please don't kill Moira and turn her into another Ned.
No. Just both of you, and I look at both of their sets of noodle arms. I go, neither of you can do this by yourself, but maybe together you two can assist in carrying Turk for a moment. As Moira, I do wish to use one of your previous plans, and I would like to chat with these trees to see how long they've been here.
Okay, so Moira, see if we can beat the DC with our flat strengths.
Should be like half, right? The DC, because you're only doing half the workers each.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I hope you get a 17 or more, because I got a crit one.
Damn you, Ned.
That is a 19.
Okay. Ned.
Thank God.
Drops it for a moment, and Moira with scary, unnatural strength for having such spaghetti thin arms, manages to steady the stretcher until Ned takes his end.
Well, I terrified. Brace it, like, I brace it sort of thing, as best I can sort of thing.
Before they decide to move on, I'm like, stop for a minute. I just kneel slightly, sit the stretcher on my knees, and just like give my arms a quick stretch because they're like kind of aching at this point. So I just give my arms a quick stretch and then pick up my arms again.
Relatable.
Right, now we can keep going.
Okay, so Oberyn wants to go and have a chat with the tree.
Unfortunately.
Take your pick.
You don't want to talk to a tree.
Well, if...
Don't shaft the tree before you talk to it, for heaven's sake.
Well, if Shard's correct and this is unnatural, then maybe they'll know something about who put them here. But yes, I'll cast Speak with the Plants. And I'll just turn to the tree next to me. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, good. It's a
tree's
been
tree. Smoking.
It's a D&D tree.
Hello. Is it a Marlboro?
No.
How long have you been here, tree?
We trees don't really have a passing of time. But I would say quite some time, given the height I have grown to.
He's very tall.
Excellent. Do you remember who put you here?
The men in the suits.
And which way do the men in the suits, when they were here, go?
To the side with your strange bed.
So back the way we were coming?
No.
I hate you, trees.
The tree drops some acorns on you.
I'm guessing it's not going well, Shard.
Why did you tell him to talk to a tree?
When we were in the cabins, he found a tree which had moved, and the trees in this area.
That tree also bled.
Yes. But the trees in the area where we were, where the hut was, are not in the configuration they were when I was here a long time ago.
Shard just ignores this.
So I figured that trees were moving, then they may have some information we can get at least.
It's been some
Your
time.
Your logic remains impeccable, Moira.
It's been some time since the men in suits came through here. They angered the spirits of the mountains.
Spirits of the mountains?
Yes.
Which way are the mountains from here?
The way your party is going.
Oh, fantastic. I worry that will become important later. I don't know why I'm telling you this, tree. This means nothing to you. Thank you, tree, for your... I guess assistance is the term I'll use.
The tree doesn't respond as such, but you can almost see the okay nod. A shrug.
I'll turn back to the party. Well, apparently we are heading towards the mountains, which we already knew. But the tree said that whomever planted them was, I guess, taken by the spirit of the mountains, whatever that means.
Well, that's some information at least.
I mean, the forest spirits were fairly chill once we explained ourselves. So.
Yes, we've had such wonderful luck with dealing with spirits or gods so far. Very excited to have to deal with the mountain one.
Well, the base is over by the mountain, so it's kind of, you can't do shit.
Well, at least we know we're headed in the right direction.
So do you keep going?
Can I point to the direction that where the tree said that the men went?
Yeah.
Apparently the men in suits would travel in that direction, which isn't the direction we are going currently. I don't know if we wish to diverge.
I know my vote doesn't count for much, but I think it probably would be a good idea to get some shelter. Mountain isn't going to offer much shelter. Basewood.
I think I side with Moira on this one.
Is it worth splitting to see if there actually is anything that direction before we carry Turg all the way over there and back?
I could summon my steed and go and see if it's
every
there.
Every time you do magic, Moira, it makes your brain explode. I was going to suggest Kendra and Ned stand guard over Turg. I can leave a device here so we can see them, or so I can see them, and we go explore over there.
Okay, that works for me. Okay. I can't think.
At the mention of his name, Turg tries to climb out the stretcher.
No.
Turg, sit. Yeah, easy.
Turg folds his arms crossly.
Look, we both passed out today, so you can't pull the I'm sick card on me.
Points at you.
No. You're worse off than I am, so you stay in the stretcher.
You can almost feel the teenage sulk coming from him. Being 15 is tough.
Fine. Ned, you ought to stay here. Watch after Turg and Kendra.
Kendra mutters to no one in particular. I guess I'll be doing all the protecting then.
Just use Ned as a meat shield. It's fine.
Okay, Kendra, my quarter staff. It might be useful. The tips have metal ends on them, so you just gotta make sure you
catch.
If someone tries to attack you, you just gotta make sure you hit them with the ends.
Got it.
Or her hands over a pair of her shoes.
Or rather than using the long stick, which gives you some range, you can use a pair of shoes.
To be fair, Moira has fastened some kind of rope between them, so needs a nunchuck now.
Brilliant.
Ignoring this idiocy, I can't have clairvoyance.
Okay.
Which allows me to create an invisible sensor in a location. If it's familiar to me, I can just pick where I want. So I pick here.
Okay.
There's a range of a mile. And at any point, I can access the sensor and either see through it or hear through it. I'm going to pick sight, obviously.
Okay. So Shard has a nanny cam set up.
I have a nanny cam set up. And I kind of stick it in the branch of a nearby tree. Kind of apologizing to the tree.
No parties while I'm gone.
I'm like... It's just a little invisible orb just staring down. Behave.
Companion characters sit and go into idle motions.
If everything's going tits up, I'll check in with this every few minutes. Just jump up and down in front of it and I'll see it.
Got it.
Stay.
Target's still pouting.
I'll have a nap later, alright? And you can protect me.
He lights up a bit at that.
There we go.
So, are you splitting off two different ways, or? What about the rest of you?
I'm fairly quick on my feet, so should I take the longer path?
I mean, I was just going to go the direction Oberyn pointed.
I I worry that if we try and make the path towards the mountain as well, I don't know how close the mountain actually is.
It's another couple of those.
I think our best bet is to stay together and check out if we can find a spot to rest for a while. I can tell Charlie that your arms, though strong, are also beginning to weaken from carrying Turk.
Yeah, they're not normally this shaky. They'll be good in a minute.
Yeah, I can't. I don't want to risk putting up another hut at the moment, so.
It'll be fine.
Thinking maybe a tent for shelter, or a cave for sure.
At this time, I don't think we need to worry about that. Hopefully we'll be back before they need to make camp or anything like that. They shouldn't be drawing any attention to themselves while it's just the three of them. Kendra, I don't mean to insult you, but I don't know if you can handle protecting all three of you.
I've protected people before, it'll be fine.
Alright, we will be back. I'll start heading the way that the tree pointed out to me.
Okay. So, let's see. Again, it's just a straight cut through the path of endless trees. Roll me. We'll call this investigation.
It is a 17.
Okay. Being fairly attuned with the forest, you can see that this path has been trodden down quite a few times, even if not in recent memory. And it's just a very, very straight shot, going just out of your line of sight from the trees. But in this place, it's easy enough to deduce that all paths are very straight, and they must all end up somewhere.
Alright, you can all clearly see that the growth down here has all been tramped down so many times. I think we are on the right path currently. To what I am not sure, but at least we are on the path to something. Keep trudging and following the path.
Okay. It goes on. And let's see. By the time you've been walking on there for about 10-15 minutes, you can glimpse what seems to be the edge of the forest.
At this point, I'd like to stop, and I think we should all try and be as quiet and sneaky as we can going forward. I don't know what awaits us.
Smart, right?
Okay.
Can everyone roll me stealth, please?
Can I cast invisibility?
You can.
Shaw's just like, I'm too tired to practice stealth, so boop.
Elameo, bye.
Elameo.
11.
Charlie?
11.
Charlie not getting triple digits on attacks?
I got a 3 plus 8.
Oof. Moira had flat stealth, but rolled.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. I'm 9. Yeah, we've got plus 4 proficiency, so that is a 12.
Yeah, flat 18.
Okay.
Which is not too bad, really.
So, what does Charlie really have, Alex?
Only a 12.
Okay. You all creep closer, and suddenly behind you there's just a thump as Charlie trips over a tree root and takes 2 points of damage. The monk trips over. We live in strange times.
Good one, Charlie. Good one. You really Moira'd that situation, didn't you?
It fucking fucking
quiet edgy. Cackle from thin air.
I am not a meme.
What's a meme?
You're basically going that way, Moira. Right, let's carry on.
Picking herself up and dusting herself off with as much dignity as possible. So, after only a slightly embarrassing fall involving Charlie, you all creep closer and closer until you can see out into the clearing. It's a flat field, a few trees and rocks here and there, and a view of the mountains far behind it. I say far, if your party was at optimal health, you could be there within 2 days.
So, there's no one in the clearing, right?
Not that you can see.
Like a slowly step into the clearing.
What waits for the party in the clearing and beyond? Well, you'll just have to find out next time. This podcast was brought to you by me, Kerry, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Matter Type Productions.